and I want to share it with you this morning. And I tell you, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be here in Hiram First Baptist Church. It's a privilege to hear these young people get up and sing. And Sarah and Savannah, that may be my favorite one y'all have ever done. I really like that. And McKaylee, it's good to see you singing, praising the Lord. It's good to have your family here with us too. Tell y'all, some folks in this church I've known a long time. I've known Kathy and Phil and Brother Tommy and some folks a long, long time. It's just such a blessing to be able to be in the house of the Lord together. You know, when I was at that funeral home yesterday evening, I saw people I hadn't seen in quite some time. We talked about some people that have done gone on to be with the Lord. And if we live to be 100 years old, it's just a drop in a bucket compared to eternity. The message we want to preach on this morning is putting down roots. And I had a conversation with my son this week, and I'm going to ask him to come up. I'm going to do this a little different this morning. I'm going to let him just share a couple of things with you about what he's experiencing, some of the things we talked about, and then we'll open the Word of God.
Good morning. My dad asked me to come up here and basically share with you all some of my experiences that I've had already. I'm just a freshman at Kennesaw State this year, and you know, blessed that I'm able to go to college. But coming from a small Christian school, I went to Praise Academy over here in Hiram, just a small group. We had 250 students in the whole school, and that's from K-3 to 12th grade. And so going from having anywhere from 13 to 15 kids in a class to my first class had over 250 students, it was a big change for me. And, but, you know, I was able to adapt to that change. But then over time, I noticed that, and even right off the bat, people were different than I was. There was people that had different beliefs, different views, different political views, religious views. But I didn't expect it to come at me the way it did. You know, at first, you know, you see the students, and it's socially acceptable among the students for the push for gay, lesbian, transgender, the push is just, it's unreal. And I saw it socially acceptable among the students, and I was like, okay, that's going to happen. You know, that's, you know, I was prepared for that. But what I wasn't prepared for is for the teachers to come out and for them to push it the way they did. And the problem is that they're not just saying, you know, this is okay, this is not, this is okay, this is not. They want to sweep it under the rug, but they want you to be able to feel it. They want you to know that this is how they think, but then they're not going to come out and say it. So it's almost like they know it's wrong, but it's okay. You know, whatever you want, that's okay. And the push for liberalism and anti-God and just everything that, you know, I've been taught is right, their teaching is wrong, and everything that's wrong is right. And so I'm just thankful for my foundation here, not just here, but in the previous churches that we've went to, just the preparation that I've been given. And to be honest, at the time, I didn't appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it the way I should. Not that I wasn't grateful to go to church. And I've always wanted to go to church. You know, that's just, you know, I've always had to go to church, but I've always wanted to. It's not like it was ever an option, you know. I'm tired. All right, get up. But I've always wanted to, you know. I was always like, all right, Mom, we're late for youth group. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Pushing her out the door, and she was like, well, I've been waiting on you for 20 minutes, so. But I've always wanted to be in church, and I'm thankful that, you know, they kept me in church. Because if it weren't for that, I think about the kids who I go into the class with every day, and I'll sit down and I'll have conversations with them. I had a conversation with a young man not too long ago, and he was talking to me, and he said, we started talking about Greek gods and goddesses. I was like, okay, this is going to be a good intro to a conversation about heaven and hell, and then I can just work my way in to talk to him about, you know, what he believes. And I started talking to him, and he said, well, he was like, we started talking about Hades. I was like, well, you know, that's like a representation of Satan, you know, in the Christian world. And he was like, well, he goes, not really. I was like, well, really? And then I was like, well, what do you believe about heaven and hell? And he was like, well, I just don't think it's real. And I was just like, what do you mean? He was like, well, he goes, I've never had any proof of it. He goes, but I know that right now and right here, this is real. He goes, so I'm just going to live, you know, the best life I can here because this is all that I know is real. And it's just, so it's not even necessarily that they're living anti-God or they're doing it on purpose. They just don't care. They have no, and then I was, it's crazy because everything that I've been taught, they just, it's like it doesn't even matter to them. And, you know, when you live in this bubble of Paulding County or Georgia or just this small, you know, southern belt, it's hard to, you know, see outside the box until you get into an environment where everybody, it seems like everybody's against you, but then you always, I try to find, you know, at least one person, you know, okay, I know this person feels the same way I do. Because it's easier to battle against the world when it's not, when you're not standing alone. And you never stand alone, you know, God's always there. But when you have another believer beside you, and that's kind of what I taught about this morning in Sunday school, is, you know, having somebody there that can back you up. So having somebody there that you know you can confide in and talk to, and just having somebody that you can share your thoughts with and not have to worry about the world or what other people think. So just the push for everything that's anti-God. I mean, I know y'all face it every day in the workplace, and it's just new to me, so I'm like, whoa. But for you guys, if you're not experiencing it already yet, I know you probably are, but it's coming, and it'll hit you like a ton of bricks, so just be ready.
We're going to read in Matthew chapter 13, but Matthew, he talks to me. I know he talks to Brother Allen a lot, and I appreciate Brother Allen taking his time to talk to all of these youth when they have things on their heart and their minds. But I asked my son, he was talking about taking the class, and they basically showed him a film, told him every religion was something that you just could decide whatever you wanted to do, but don't put too much faith or stock in any of them. And I said, well, how did that affect the class? He said, well, Dad, the people who have no roots, it does affect them. And when he said that, it really stuck in my heart and my mind. That's why the message this morning is entitled, Putting Down Roots. And I want to read this scripture and just try to share with you the things that are on my heart and my mind this morning. And hopefully God will be able to speak to us and give us some understanding. But in Matthew chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 1 through verse number 9, it says this. It says, in the same day went Jesus out of the house, and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but the other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's go down to the 18th verse, and let's pick up the meaning of this parable. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, I want to talk a little bit about putting down roots, and I want us to think about what that means. And I want us to think about it in relation to a Christian or a person that's rooted or grounded. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. And I didn't have a choice whether or not I went to church either. And can I just say this? If you got teenagers in your house, they need to be in the house of God. Amen. Now, one day y'all might not appreciate me as much, and y'all might want to run me off. But until you do, I'm just going to be right with the Lord. Let me tell y'all something. You don't want a preacher in a pulpit that won't preach you the Bible. Amen. You don't want a preacher that doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't live the Bible, okay? Because there are some out there that don't. They call themselves Christians and preachers, but if you look at the way they live, they ain't no different than the worst in the world. There's something wrong with that. Now, if you got teenagers, it ought not to be, do you want to go to church this morning? It ought to be, get up, get ready, we're going to the house of God. I heard a 14-year-old boy say one time, he said, well, I just quit church when I was 14. He's an adult. They said, well, why'd you quit? He said, well, my mom and daddy quit. Y'all understand that, okay? I'll tell you what it was like when I was growing up. When I was growing up, my dad was a preacher. He was a man of God, a man I have more respect for than anybody I've ever known, and I'll tell you why. I've heard a lot of good preachers, but I didn't watch the way they lived. Okay, and I appreciate good messages, but I watched this man, so I know what kind of man he was. And I can remember times we'd get phone calls at home. The phone would ring. It would be at night. It would be a day. It would be whatever. And the phone would ring. There'd be somebody on the other end of the line that would have a problem. There'd be a car wreck. There'd be a child that passed away. There'd be a bad report from a doctor. There'd be somebody in trouble. There'd be something going on that they needed a preacher. And let me tell you what they did not do when they called. They didn't pick up the phone and say, let me stop for just a minute before I tell you what's going on. Let me ask you, are you still a preacher? Do you still believe the Word of God? Are you still walking for Jesus? Do you still go to church? Do you still stand on the same things that you stood on 15 years ago the last time we saw you? Let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people that are only going to come to God when they need Him. But when they need Him and they come, they need to find something solid that they can depend on. You see, when you're rooted, they're not going to ask those kind of questions. Now, let's think about it for just a minute. How many people do you know like that in your life? How many people do you know that you can think about that were like that when you were growing up? Do you remember that grandmother? Do you remember that granddad? Do you remember maybe for some of you here it was your dad? Maybe it was your mother? Maybe it was a brother? Maybe it was a sister? I've even heard for some that it might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been an Awana leader. I heard a man one time talking about why he was in church and serving God. It was because of that bus driver that came through my area where I live and knocked on the door. And I heard a testimony of a man. He said, I was in the worst circumstance that a person could ever have to live in. But that man, by coming by and picking me up on Sunday morning, changed my life. We think about those people, those that live their life for God, they give their life for God, and they don't stand up and say, oh, how hard it is to be a Christian. They'll say, I have battles, but when you sell out for God, and you give up for God, and you decide you're going to serve for God, you won't want anything else more than you want God. Now, if I didn't believe that, what would I do? I'd say, well, I'm standing up here because I made it through another week. I'm standing up here because of the grace of God that has been poured abundantly upon my soul. Do you think about the people in your life that have impacted you? I want to give you a verse of Scripture about, we want to talk about putting down roots, but I want to tell you something, folks. Here's what we want to do. We want to have a heritage of serving God so that when it is our time, just like they said a minute ago with these young people that are up here singing, we as the adults can pass the baton to them and let them keep marching on. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 says this. This is where Paul wrote to Timothy, and he's writing and he's speaking of those that went before him. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which he sees in Timothy, he says, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And he said, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. You know, the greatest thing that you can leave your children, the greatest thing you can leave your loved ones is a heritage that you serve God. They sometimes, people, you know, when it comes time for someone to leave, all they want to do is argue about what's left behind. I want to tell you something. The greatest thing that my dad left to me was a heritage that he served God. And I want to follow that the very best that I can. And I even had somebody say something to me one time, and this is true of everybody in this house. We need to make our own heritage. You know, we need to be the kind of people that someone would look at us and they'll say, when I think of the faith that was in your father and in your grandfather, and I see that same thing is in you. What about when I'm gone? What about the opportunity that I have to serve God? You know, if we don't have roots, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems. Now, I want to talk about how to be rooted this morning. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter number 3. And I just want to read a few verses of scripture to you in Ephesians chapter 3 and talk just a little bit about how to get rooted and how important it is to get rooted. You know, if you don't get rooted, you're going to go out there and you're going to face things in this world. And you're going to be just like the parable that we read. The sun's going to come up and it's going to scorch. The winds are going to blow and they're going to blow over. But we got to put down the roots and we got to get them sunk deep. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in the 14th verse, it says this. And in this particular area of scripture in the Bible, this is really what it is a prayer for inner growth. Look at the 14th verse. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Now I want to give you some things about being rooted, and here's number one. Number one, you're going to have some strength. We see that in the 16th verse, and here's what it says, strengthened by the Spirit of God in the inner man, okay? That's where you have something inside of you that's strong enough, young people, that you can sit in a class where you're in an arena of 75 or 200 people, and you've got a liberal professor that'll get up in front of you, and Matthew's got one right now. He's teaching U.S. history, by the way, and he's from Chile, okay? He gets up in front of the class and he wants to tear down everything that we say that we believe in. He wants to tear down the capitalist system. He wants to talk about socialism. He wants to ridicule and criticize everything that we say that we believe in. You know what's going to happen for a lot of people? Because they're not strong enough, they will cave under that pressure. And I've seen it time and time again. And you say, well, how do we get strong? I'll tell you how. Come to the house of God. Come to Sunday school. Come to Awana. We sit at home and we do everything in the world. And when our kids get to the age that we want them to live right and they're off in the world, if you hadn't taught them that God's important, guess what? It's going to be hard to change them then. We need strength. We need to be rooted and we need to be grounded. And here's what strength is. Strength comes from faith. And what is faith? Faith is this. It is trust in a relationship. Now, can I tell you, do you understand how important that is? Faith is trust in a relationship. Now, let's break that down for just a minute. If I'm going to have faith and I'm going to have trust in a relationship, that tells you, if you'll stop and think about it, what's important is relationship. And here's what Christianity is. You say, well, I'm just not as excited about it as you. Okay. You say, I don't want to be told what to do. Okay, nobody does. But here's what Christianity is. It is a personal relationship with a living God. Amen. It's between you and it's between Him. And if you're going to be strong and be able to stand, you're going to have to get where God's at and you're going to have to walk with Him. Yes. You look at the Word of God and you'll see there was a man in the Old Testament named Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. What does that mean? God said, I'm enjoying your company so much. Come on up here with me. Here's what it boils down to. You can be as close to God as you want to be. There's going to come a time in your life that you're going to need a close walk with God, and that faith is walking hand in hand in that relationship with a living God, because if you walk with Him and you talk with Him and you're in communion with Him, guess what? When you need Him, He will not be far away from you. He will be right there for you to reach out and touch Him. It takes strength, and here's what else it takes. It takes understanding. I want to tell you something, and I mentioned this before, young people. I can remember when I was in high school, and I knew I was different. I got saved when I was 12 years old. God called me to preach at Lithia Springs High School on the right side of the auditorium, going through the doors on this side. Tanya, you remember what that's like. You go out of the auditorium from the lunchroom, and I was going through those doors, and God spoke to me, and I knew that I was different, Brother Ken. When they had parties, and they make fun, and they say, "We're not going to invite you. We know you don't do so-and-so." You know what? Let me just tell you something for young people. It hurts. It hurts when you're not invited. It hurts when you're rejected. It hurts when you're at home on Saturday night and you see everybody out. But I want to tell you something. There was something different about me because Jesus Christ lived inside of me. Amen. I got away from that and I got into construction. I thought, boy, I get away from high school. I won't have any more peer pressure. I can live for God. Then I got on job sites and everything you could do, they did it on those job sites. I thought, well, I'm going to get away from these old, my wife calls them old dirty construction men. She used to tell me, she said, "I hate to pull up to red light and they be over there. They look at me and they say stuff to me." And she says, "Those old dirty construction men." There I am looking at her and I got mud on my pants. And I said, "What about me?" And then I thought, well, I'm going to get away from that. And I got in the corporate world. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you a battle. You know what a battle is? It's when you think, and this is literally the pressure that I was under. If I did not drink socially, I would not get promoted. That's what I was afraid of in my mind. And God began to show me, Brother Ken, and God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit and said this one time to me when there was a job opening. He said, "If I'd have wanted you to have that job, there ain't nobody in here could keep you from having it." And God has shown me that He's in control. Man is not in control. If you commit to serving God, don't believe the lie of the devil that you'll never have nothing. The devil is a liar. Amen. You need understanding. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this. Says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." You know what you need? You know, people, sometimes we say we want an education. And you know, my son, he wants to do something where he's got to have one. And let me just say this. This is a side note. Don't get an education for a job you can get without one, right? If you go to school, get something out of it. But understand, when you go and you got to listen to all that garbage, you got to have enough understanding to wade through it. Here's what I told him. I said, "Son, with all the garbage you're being fed, how do you know how to take notes for a test?" That's what the difficulty is. You're sitting in a class where they're pushing the liberal agenda all day long, and they tell you things that just make you sick at your stomach. And I've said, "Sometimes, son, you just got to hold your tongue, and you got to sit there and wait on your opportunity." I said, "But listen for the points you need for your test." My daddy, I considered him a wise man. But my daddy did not finish the eighth grade. My daddy never went to Bible college. But when I go and I'd sit down on the porch beside him and I'd sit there and I'd have something troubling on my heart, and he would sit and he would listen and he would pray and he would live for God in front of me, I want to tell you, his understanding didn't come from school. It come from, go back to point number one, relationship with a living God. Understanding. The word comprehend, it means to grasp. You got to grasp. What keeps people from seeing the truth? Can I tell you how important it is that we are in the house of God this morning? The Bible says, "Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." And then what? As it was already said this morning, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what is the day? That is the day of the return of Jesus Christ. Psalms 119 verse 9, I like this. It says, "Wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way?" The scripture says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Psalms 119 verse number 11 says this, and this is why I believe in Awana. This is why I believe in studying the Word of God. This is why I believe in Sunday school. It says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now, what does that mean? Can I tell y'all, mamas and daddies, this? I mean, I look over here and I see all these graduating. I think we had 11 or 12 last year. I think in the last 3 years, we've had 30 graduate from high school. You know what it's like when they get out and they drive? And they're driving and you're wondering where they're at, and you put a GPS tracker on their phone and you tell them to text you everywhere that they go. Yeah. And you find out they gave their friend their phone and they're not where they said they were. So, well, my kids wouldn't do that. Let's hope not. But I want to tell you something. One day they're going to be in a place and they're going to be around people that you probably don't even want them to be around. And they're going to be presented with things that you don't want them to be presented with. And I tell you what you're going to have to rely on. You're going to have to rely on that Holy Spirit. You're going to have to rely on that Bible verse that they've memorized. You're going to have to rely on that Sunday school lesson they had. You're going to have to rely on those words that were given. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to ask God to go to a place that we can't go and deal with them. I heard a preacher testifying of that. Said he went to Las Vegas, and he was there in Las Vegas. And he said, being even a preacher, I was presented with things time and time again. He said, I'll tell you that I understood what it was to have scripture recall. Because every time I was in a place to be tempted, the Word of God just kept popping up in my heart and my mind. You see, we need understanding. In verse number 19, we need this. We need the love of Christ. You know, I'm one of those kind of personalities that I'm the opposite of. You know, you got them and you go through these personality things like the HR person. You know, let's just give everybody, you know, everything that they want, and let's just all feel good all the time. And you talk about love, and you know, everybody, let's just have a group hug. When we hear those words, what do you think about? Let me tell you what I have. I want to tell you what love did to me. It changed me. The love, the scripture says in one place, the love of Christ constraineth us. It keeps me from being what I would be by myself. It causes me to have compassion that I would not have had otherwise. It has transformed me into something that Jesus Christ wants me to be. The love of Christ, it fills me, it's changed me, it moves me, and it motivates me to do something. That, I tell you what that does. When you're in the midst of those circumstances and you're in that room and you're around those people, those that persecute you, those that ridicule you, those that are against you, here's what it'll do. It will cause you to have compassion on them. Now, they don't want your compassion. They don't appreciate your compassion. But sometimes when I have been mistreated the most by people or persecuted for my faith, and I look at them and I really begin to realize it, you got to realize where they're headed. They're without God. And when you get a relationship right with God and you continue to strengthen your understanding and you let the love of God grow in you, it's going to put roots down in your life that are absolutely necessary for you to live in this generation and be a Christian. Young people, we appreciate y'all. And I want to tell y'all, y'all are very important. And I want to tell you this. I don't know where some of you are going to go to school or where you go now, but I want to tell you, you got a pastor that believes the Bible. If you need me, you can call me. If you're ever in a situation that you're going to be like on that movie, God's Not Dead, and you're going to have a debate and you need some backup, you can call me and Brother Allen. Yeah. We'll come. Amen. Now, that's very important. Because when they go outside these doors, and when you go outside these doors, you're not going to be in an environment of 200 people that love you and pray for you and care about you. You're going to be in an environment that comes against you to turn against everything that we say that we believe. So why do we need to get rooted? Here's number one. We need to get rooted because of the winds. What am I talking about? In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 14 and 15 says this. Says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love that we have received from God. May grow up into Him in all things which is the head of Christ. Now, what are winds of doctrine? That's the world's opinion. That's the liberal push. That's the anti-God agenda. That's the God is dead agenda. And there are people today that want to have you and I believe that God is dead. God is not dead. God is alive, and He's well, and He's moving in this church, and He's moving in our lives, and He wants to move in somebody else's life. But what are winds of doctrine? It's just a bombardment of everything that's against. What did Jesus say? He said, I am not a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then what did He go on to say? He said, and no man cometh unto the Father except by who? He said, by me. He said, Jesus. He's the only way. Bible also says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus. Says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We got to be ready for those winds. What is cunning craftiness? What is the sleight of men? That means tricks. Cunning craftiness is deceitfulness. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says this. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And then it says this. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's philosophy. It's vain deceit. It's the tradition of men. It's the principles or the rudiments of the world. Can I tell you, there's even a verse that says not to be deceived by science. Sometimes people say, well, you know, you got to keep your science and your religion separate. No, you don't. Science will support your religion if you understand it. People say, well, you got to keep your religion and your politics separate. Not if you have convictions, you don't. If you have convictions, you don't vote your pocketbook, you vote the Bible. And if we stand on the truth and we walk in the truth and we understand, we're going to have winds that are going to blow against us. Don't be moved by the winds. Stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. But you got to put your roots down. What about the storms? Can I tell you, folks, we're going to have storms. We're going to have them. We've been going through it in the church. Got a prayer list that just grows. You know, sometimes my wife and I, we talk about it and we truly want to do everything we can to help people. But sometimes we say, I wish we could just have a break. I wish we could have a time in our church that there wasn't somebody getting hurt. When there wasn't another call where somebody's in trouble. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, sometimes what we need God to open the windows of heaven and pour grace out on us. Now, folks, He has. Because we've had a lot of things that could have went really, really bad. And God is blessed. God is healed. Amen. God is moved. Yes. When people could have lost their life. Yes. God spared them. God has a plan. I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I don't have any storms in my life. Well, get ready. You will. You will. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You see, here's what roots do. They keep you from quitting for the wrong reason. You see, sometimes people get in storms and they quit. You know why they quit? Because they don't have their roots down. And you know, if you pay attention to what's going on down there with these hurricanes and all down in Panama City, I know people that have been going down there checking on their property and their place, and they go through and they talk about it. And some of the trees are just like this. They're leaned all the way over. And if you look at them, they're just like they're just weakened. You know what's going to happen with those trees in time? The sun's going to shine on them. And as the sun shines on them, they'll stand back up. And as they stand back up, and here's what plants do. You ever noticed how my wife's got some? I close the blinds. I don't have a green thumb. I shut the blinds. And I go in there, and you know what's happening to the plant? It's looking for the light. Yeah. It's moved across the room almost like it's trying to look out the window so that it can see it. I want to tell you something. You need roots to get them down so that when the storms blow in your life, you don't quit. You don't know what the next phone call is going to be. Friday night, I had thoughts when I was driving down the road. I'm going to go home. Me and my wife, we're going to go out on a date. We don't get to do that much. I thought, me and her, we'll go off, we'll do something together. And I mean, you know, it had been quite a while. And you know what? Before I could even get home, I got a call. It was another terrible automobile accident. People being carried to the hospital, not knowing how bad they're hurt. You know, I didn't throw my hands up and say, well, I'm just going to quit. I didn't say, God, where you at? God, have you quit on me? God, do you still love us? God, why do you let this happen? But I said, God, help me to be what I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the man I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the husband I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the son that I'm supposed to be. God, put a little water on these roots, a little holy water, and let them get deeper. Don't let me quit because the storms of life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Down at Crestlawn Subdivision, if you go in the lower gate and you go down there and you go down to the right, there's a headstone that's got Holcomb on it. Right there in front of that headstone, there's a little grave about this long. It's a grave of a little girl. Her name's Wendy Holcomb. She died and went to be with the Lord when she was 3 years old. She died with cancer. My dad was a pastor when she passed away. Right beside that, there's a grave of a man named Joe Holcomb III. And there's a footstone that has this verse on it because that's a verse that God showed me was a representation of his life. Why? Because when he walked through the storms, when he lost that child, when he was persecuted, he did not fall because the roots were deep. Why? Because of faith. Because of relationship. Because of the love of God that was inside of him. Let's move on. What about disturbances? What about nutty people? What about hypocrites? What is a hypocrite? Hypocrite, that is a word. It's a Greek word. It's Hippocrates. And here's what it means. It means one who wears a mask. They put on the facade of religion. The facade of being the absolute best that they can be. But behind them, or as it said, when Jesus called them, he said, they're like whited sepulchres. He said, you walk over them and they're beautiful like a tombstone, but on the inside is dead men's bones. I'm going to tell you, you're going to run into those kind of people in your life. I'll tell you what roots will do. Again, it'll keep you from quitting for the wrong reason. I've heard people say, well, I used to go to church, but I got my feelings hurt. I had a pastor that run off, with a lady in the church, or I had a Sunday school teacher that did this, or I had a deacon that did that. I want to tell you something. I serve a God that ain't never been nothing but merciful to me, Brother Ken. He ain't never nothing but love me, and I'm not going to quit serving God because of somebody. Because my trust and my hope is not in people. My trust and my hope is in the God of heaven and earth. I heard a guy say one time, well, the church I was at, he said, they didn't want me, so I just put my Bible on the shelf like Peter. He went fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. Okay. What have you done? You take your Bible and you lay it on the shelf. So I'm just going to quit because of so-and-so. Get your roots down. Get your roots down and serve God and not man. Remember, what's our motto here? It's not about us, it's about him. And if we keep God big and us little, there's no telling what God will do at Hiram First Baptist Church. Ready for disturbances. What about this? Last one. How about ready to give an account? Ready to give an account. In 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 15, it says this. Says, but sanctify the Lord. That means put God in his proper place in your heart. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Matthew tells me stories of talking to young men, and he asks them, he said, well, what do you believe happens when you die? They say, well, I just believe I'm going to be dead. Can I tell you, if you believe you're just going to be dead, nothing you do matters. That's right. Nothing. What does it matter if we live our life and we accomplish or don't accomplish if nothing we do matters? But here's what I want you to understand as a Christian. Everything you do matters. Went to a funeral of a preacher this past year. In his coffin it had, "Let the deeds of my life speak for eternity." I said, "Praise God. When I die, they're not going to just throw me in a hole. My body's going to return to the earth. All you got to do is look at the back of your hand and see the wrinkles. All you got to do is stand up and feel your knees pop. You know that your body is decaying, but I want to tell you something. As we live and we grow in our relationship with God, the spiritual man becomes more and more alive and in tune with the things of God until we eventually get to the point that we're reaching across to the other side and still got a hold of this side, and we're like this, and we finally just say, "I'm ready to go. Ready to give an account." Here it is, of the hope that lies in us. Where's our hope? Our hope of eternal life, our hope of heaven, of the reason we stand. What's the reason that I'm standing? Jesus. They played that song just a little bit ago, and the guy said, "When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me." I want to tell you, there's going to come a time that Christians are going to be in heaven with the Lord, and we're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And some people say there won't be no preaching in heaven. I don't see how in the world you can get that close to the Spirit of God. And not at least have a testimony. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, he said, "Y'all better get out of my way." What'd Paul say? When we're persecuted, what'd he say when he stood before the Romans? He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You give an account of the purpose of life. What's your purpose of life? Is it to have more? Is it to do more? Is it to have more fun? Is it to have more stuff? What are you living for? I love the sign that still got it on the church right down the road here. It said, "You are created to glorify God. Get started." We're only here for a short time. The reason that we're here is because of Him. And we're going to live our lives to the best of our ability. And I want to tell you something. God loves you. God wants to bless you. We're going to get a song in just a minute. But here, I want you to understand just a little bit about how God loves you. My wife this morning, she sent me a picture of my little grandson, Ezekiel. He's going to be 3 years old, I guess, in a couple of weeks. And she sent him a birthday card. And, of course, she always sends him. You know, she's a giver. She sends him money or stuff to go buy him something. And they sent us a picture. He was sitting at the table reading the card. You know, he can't read, of course, but he was grinning. And then the next picture we get is she's took him to Target. And he's got a toy on the table. And he's smiling. He's looking up. And he said, "Well, if life's all about the Lord, what's that?" Can I tell you that God wants to bless you? Amen. Can I tell you that God wants to give you the desire of your heart? Yes. Read the 32nd chapter of Psalms. God will give you the desire of your heart if the desire of your heart will honor Him. Right. Yes. God wants to bless you. I've said this about my boys. I love them. I give them stuff, Brother Tommy, they don't even deserve. And sometimes if they'd just really be good, I mean really be good, they'd get all kinds of stuff, Brother Ken. Because I love them. Can I tell you, God wants your life here to be the best it can be. You know how it's going to be the best it can be? Live for Him. Honor Him with everything that you do. When you choose that career, young people, pray about it. When you choose that spouse, pray about it. When you decide what you're going to do, pray about it. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus said, He said, "Father, I pray for them, not that you bring them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil." I'll tell you what God will do. He'll allow you to go to that school, and He'll allow you to be a light in darkness because you have put your roots down, and you're going to stand for God, and no matter what the world says, God can and He will bless you. Some say, "Well, it's not for me." Here's a question. What is for you? What is your purpose in life? What is your reason for living? That's why when people lose money at the stock market, they jump out windows. When they go try out for American Idol and they don't win, their life is over. Because fame and fortune has been taught by our culture that that's all there is. I want to tell you the greatest thing you can ever have is complete and total peace with the living God. And then let God take control of your life and direct you in the path that He wants you to go. That's when you just say, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my relationships. I'm giving you my future. Whatever you want from me, God, I'm going to follow you. And that peace comes rushing in. And all of a sudden, God begins to move in ways that you will become absolutely amazed at what God's done. Wow. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. And I want to ask you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest thing you'll ever do is accept Him.